Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
This might sound like an obvious statement, but sometimes hockey can be weird. And the fact is, when the Blackhawks play a full 60 minutes, for the most part, they've been able to pull out 2 points. That wasn't quite the case on Thursday night against Edmonton. That was not the case tonight. And they come away with 1 point over their last 2 games. Tonight they fall in overtime, blowing a 2-goal lead to the Buffalo Sabres, as Buffalo takes it on a Victor Olofsson goal, his second of the night, 4-3 in OT. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show here on 720 WGN. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts, 312-981-7200. But before we do that, we do want to head quickly over to the KeyBank Center, bring in Kaylee Chelios briefly because she's going to get on the run. And Kaylee, this game, we've been talking about it all night long. Not the most solid effort coming from the Blackhawks. They were able to generate some momentum to pick up a couple of goals. They were bailed out a lot by their goaltender. But when it came down to it, Buffalo outworked the Hawks for the majority of this game, especially towards the end when they were able to tie things up.
Yeah, I don't know if Buffalo maybe surprised them a little bit, but you said it. They were outworked, and that was at the start of each period, and you're not going to give yourself a good chance to win when you're taking untimely penalties and you're playing a lot in your own zone. And so they had some serious puck management issues. The good thing was Soderblom played so well, and they were able to rally in the second period to take that 3-1 lead. So a lesson learned there going into the third. The slow starts, and we saw it against Seattle. It's going to make it a lot harder to play catch-up hockey and play from behind. So this was a winnable game for the Blackhawks. They'll get a point out of it, which is great, but Buffalo's big guys like Tage Thompson came up big for them. He's been looking for kind of a breakout game this season, and a pair of goals, including the game winner, will be that. Or not the game winner, it was an overtime, but still, 2 goals to come back from 3-1 is impressive from him.
It will be interesting to see their response tomorrow against Minnesota. I mean, a quick turnaround. Sometimes, though, that short-term memory can help out teams.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you go on a little bit of adrenaline, and maybe this they were overthinking it too much tonight, and they'll get home late but get a chance to regroup. I know most players don't love the morning skate anyway, so put this one behind them, turn the page, and just like in Edmonton, Luke Richardson, I'm sure, will have some lessons learned and good lessons to learn going against a Wild team that's starting to find their game again.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Kaylee, we know you got to run. Thanks so much for the insight. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, thank you, Joe. Can't wait.
That's Kaylee Chelios. She and John Weinemann with tonight's call as the Blackhawks fall to the Buffalo Sabres 4-3 in overtime tonight. Again, we'll take your calls. We'll take your texts, 312-981-7200. Our buddy Tim from Urbana, once again, chiming in. Of course, it's a Blackhawks loss, so we hear from Tim from Urbana. Sabres outworked the Hawks. The Hawks earned the loss. 1 point doesn't matter. Don't sugarcoat mediocre hockey. I don't think anyone's sugarcoating tonight's game. The positives to pull out is Arvid Soderblom and the Blackhawks having some net front presence to score 3 goals, but of course, it wasn't enough. It was not enough. Buffalo outworked the Hawks, they outshot the Hawks, and they just pretty much controlled momentum of the majority of this game. I will say, though, the fact that the Blackhawks went into the third period with a 3-1 lead, you did feel good about it because we've seen the Blackhawks pull away wins when they were trailing heading into the third period, and they were able to turn around their full-on effort. Tonight, it never really turned the way that we've seen from, I'm going to go ahead and say, the first 6 games of the year. There was better spurts of performance against Edmonton Thursday night. But I think tonight is the first time that we've seen a game in which the Blackhawks have struggled to generate that momentum and generate that full-on effort. It just wasn't quite there. Now, this isn't an excuse, but it is worth noting that the Blackhawks have had some injuries that they've been dealing with. Obviously, Tyler Johnson has been placed on the injured reserve. That has created some shuffling with the offense. The Blackhawks' 4 lines out tonight was the first time that 3 out of the 4 lines were all shaken up. The first line of Andreas Athanasiou, Patrick Kane, and Max Domi, I don't think they factored in any points of tonight's game. We were looking a lot at Patrick Kane tonight as being a producer because of his track record playing in his hometown team, playing against his hometown team, I should say, as Patrick Kane ended tonight with no goals. He came into it with 25 points in 20 games. So I'm trying to load up the score sheet. Here we go. Seth Jones with an assist, Jake McCabe with an assist against his former team. The goals coming from Jason Dickinson, Sam Lafferty, and Taylor Radish in that order. And yes, they did change that first goal of Jason Dickinson back to Jason Dickinson. There was some confusion on who was credited. Originally, they had it as Jason Dickinson moved it to Mackenzie Entwistle and then put it back to Jason Dickinson, and that is the case. But again, two late goals from Tage Thompson, and the Buffalo Sabres in that third period were able to tie things up for Buffalo, and then they go ahead and win in overtime. Victor Olofsson had a good game. Again, he was one of the guys that we picked to pick up a point tonight. If you did take that bet, that gave you a payout of minus 102. But Olofsson now with 7 points in his last 8 games as Buffalo takes out this 4-3 overtime win. It looks like we're getting one of our callers situated. Again, I invite you to call in or text in 312-981-7200. We're recapping this Blackhawks loss to the Buffalo Sabres 4-3 in overtime. This is the first overtime loss for the Hawks as they move to 4-3-1. Buffalo improves to 5-3-0. And we're going to go to Leo in Albuquerque, who's not a stranger to the post-game show, who thinks he's got the reason of why the Blackhawks... What reason do you got, Leo? Why the Blackhawks fell today, or what's going on lately?
Well, I'm thinking they try to contain him in the first beginning of the first period. Because it seems that we're trying to outskate, outlast the opposing team. What do you think of that theory?
I do somewhat understand where you're coming from, but I don't think it's so much they're trying to solely outskate them. I think they're trying to outwork them, but the problem is a lot of these teams just have overmatched talent, so they're able to outskate the Blackhawks. The thing that the Hawks are doing well against a team like Florida was breaking up that neutral ice, not allowing them to just get really any momentum whatsoever, and that wasn't the case today. I do think this is a factor of some of these guys trying to figure out the chemistry with each other, but I don't know if it's solely outskate. They were outskated today, and they were outworked in that turn, too. But I get what you're saying, Leo. How's Albuquerque, by the way? How you doing out there?
Oh, Albuquerque was great. I bet the weather was probably a whole lot more enjoyable here than in Chicagoland at this time.
You know what? I mean, we're not going to turn it into a weather talk, but it's been a fantastic fall over here in Chicago. Any other thoughts on the Hawks, Leo, before we let you go?
Well, I think there should be an added NHL rule that if a goalie makes 40 or more saves and the team still loses, that he can pick one player on the team to beat down. But that's just my personal opinion.
Wow.
Coming from a goalie.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that sounds like a former goalie. All right. Well, we'll pass that on to the NHL. Leo, thanks a lot for tuning in. Have a good night. That is Leo from Albuquerque. Again, if you'd like to join in, 312-981-7200 as the Hawks fall to Buffalo 4-3 in overtime tonight. Just to look at some of the other numbers, the Blackhawks were outshot in every period tonight. They end up being outshot overall 45-26. That means Arvid Soderblom had 41 saves tonight. And actually, if you go back to the last time he started a game for the Hawks, it was the preseason. It was in September against Detroit. He stopped the last 20 shots that he faced. So that means that Arvid Soderblom has now stopped the last 61 of 65 shots on goal that he's played in between the pipes in a Blackhawks uniform. Again, that is the brightest spot for the Hawks tonight, and I don't think you need to just bypass that situation. This is one of the goaltenders that the Blackhawks have a lot of confidence in moving forward, and he's a guy that is going to spend a lot of time, the majority of the season, down in Rockford. But talking to him during the preseason and prior, he doesn't seem like he's putting a lot of pressure on himself. He understands where he's at in this organization right now. He understands what he needs to do, And it just seems like he's just going to carry that confidence in when he comes to the NHL. It's one game, I get it, small sample size, but still, what we've seen from Arvid Soderblom so far is pretty favorable. This one coming on Twitter from Muse X. Taze has now cost the Blackhawks the last two losses by mistakes and penalties in final minutes. A rookie would be shamed for this. Okay, pretty extreme, but I have been seeing this common theme now on Twitter, Taves being blamed for the past couple of games. I understand that Taves' turnover late in the third period in Thursday night's loss to Edmonton did end up in being the goal for the Edmonton Oilers. I understand it's easy to put the microscope on those situations, and this is the reason why the Blackhawks lost. But let's face it, it's a 60-minute game. One play, one player does not lose the game for the team. And that being said, especially not the captain. Now, I understand why you're frustrated from a penalty from Jonathan Taves coming late in the game. It sounded like, if you heard the broadcast, John Weidemann said that Taves had had a conversation with some of the officials after the game expressing his displeasure on that call. That's a side of Jonathan Taves that we have seen before. I get the fact that you're upset about the Blackhawks being shorthanded in that situation. It played a big role in this, I should say, in Buffalo's ability to finish off the game the way that they did. Let's also pull it back a little bit at the Max Domi penalty, the penalty that Max Domi drew, a high sticking call. If you looked at the video replay, the stick never got him, and it was a pretty good sail job by Max Domi. Gave the Blackhawks a power play. They didn't convert on it. And in turn, Buffalo had a good penalty kill, generated momentum off of that, and then Tage Thompson scored a couple of goals and they tied things up. I think it's really ironic that it's now another team's PK helping that team. How many times have we seen the Blackhawks penalty kill give them some momentum in this short start to the season? Again, still four shorthanded goals, I believe still leads the NHL so far this year. But in turn tonight, it's the Blackhawks drawing a penalty, maybe playing a fast one on the officials, and it ends up hurting them in terms of three goals being scored for Buffalo to tie the game and win the game in overtime. We've got plenty to get to. We're taking the post-game show up to 9:30 tonight. Again, if you've got a thought, text, tweet, or call 312-981-7200. You can find me on Twitter at Joe_Brand1 as the Blackhawks fall to the Buffalo Sabres 4-3 in overtime. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. After a four-game winning streak, the Blackhawks have come away with just 1 point over their last two games. They fall to the Buffalo Sabres tonight 4-3 in overtime out at the KeyBank Center. Coming up, Blackhawks return home. They'll host the Minnesota Wild tomorrow night, so a quick turnaround for this team. Hopefully that'll do them some good. And that begins another bit of a homestand. Three straight games at the United Center. Sunday against Minnesota, Tuesday night against the New York Islanders, and then Thursday night against the LA Kings before they'll go back on the road. Saturday afternoon game against the Winnipeg Jets. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN, 4-3 in favor of the Buffalo Sabres in overtime. Again, we'll take your calls, we'll take your texts, 312-981-7200. We already had Leo from Albuquerque on. If you got a thought that you can tweet, tweet at me, at Joe_Brand1. For now, though, let's get to the scoring highlights of tonight's game. And actually, it starts with not a scoring play. It was a play by probably the Blackhawks player of the game, their goaltender, Arvid Soderblom.
Sabres get it back. Mittelstadt from the left wing corner. Sends the puck out to the right point. And it's taken there and spun back down deep to Olofsson. Put it beside the net. Oh, and a point-blank chance from beside the net by Mittelstadt is gloved away by Arvid Soderblom with a fantastic save.
That was a pretty common theme tonight. Again, Soderblom with 41 saves in this game, but it was also a common theme of Buffalo coming with some pressure as they had the first 11 shots on goal. One of them was a goal, but then the Blackhawks were able to overturn it. Or I should say the Blackhawks challenged it because they thought it was an offsides play. It turned out to be, so it was overturned, but then just later on, Victor Olofsson was able to get it through the net, rather across the line for good.
From the draw, Olofsson with a drive, he scores, and this one's going to count. A clean faceoff win by the Sabres. And Victor Olofsson grabbing the puck in between the circles just wound up and ripped a slap shot past Söderblom. It's a power play goal. This time it counts, and it's 1-0 Buffalo.
It was a power play goal after a Connor Murphy hooking penalty, and Buffalo was already having good momentum. Kind of a weird play, though. They called a timeout during the power play because of a glass malfunction on the ice. And again, Buffalo with a 1-0 lead. Before we get to our next goal, it looks like we got another call from 312 area code. We'll actually stand by. Stand by, caller. We'll bring you on in just a moment. Hawks down 1-0 in the first period. That was the first goal allowed by Arvid Söderblom after 30 consecutive stops. He had 20 in his last game against Detroit in the preseason and then 10 straight to begin this game. But again, the first goal given to Buffalo. Then later on, the Blackhawks were able to pick up a power play on a Peyton Krebs high sticking penalty, and they converted.
Here's a shot from the right point by Caleb Jones. Turned aside by Anderson. Loose puck in the crease. They score! I believe it's going to be Jason Dickinson as a battle ensued in the Sabre goal crease. I'm pretty sure this is going to be Dickinson who touched it last. And it just sort of slipped past Anderson into the Sabre net.
It was a goal for Dickinson. They later changed it to Mackenzie Entwistle, and then they changed it back to Jason Dickinson. So it is Dickinson's goal, a 1-1 tie. Before we get to any more highlights, now let's go over to Andy to Chicago, who's wondering why the Blackhawks are not going back to the fundamentals. Go ahead, Andy.
How you doing, Joe? I think they need to go back and practice till they drop. I'm sorry to say. Regardless, these are professionals. These are not Triple-A hockey players are college. And I understand some are rookies, but they're up and down. They need to be aggressive, but not cause penalties, stupid penalties. Stay out of the box, play defense, get back on defense. Period.
I'm definitely with you on the penalties. Really quick, Andy, can I ask you, what were you thinking during the first five games from this team? Were you pleased with their efforts then?
I was impressed that they're playing hard hockey, but it seems like they've just gone flat. Buffalo is a joke. They should have blew Buffalo out.
I don't know about that.
3-1. I'm sorry to say it.
I understand your frustration. Thank you for the call, Andy, from Chicago.
And again,
all right, thank you very much. If you'd like to join in, 312-981-7200. I don't know about Buffalo being a joke. Buffalo's a good young team. They came in with the same record as the Blackhawks. They're fourth in the Atlantic Division right now, a goal differential of +8. They've got talented players. If you look down the line of the standings, there's a lot of teams that have more talent than the Blackhawks. Don't think Buffalo's a joke. I do think that the Blackhawks could have gotten back to those fundamentals and limit the penalties like they had done before Thursday night's game against Edmonton. But let's face it, a lot of the matchups this year, the Blackhawks are going to be climbing uphill. That's just the matter of the case. This is the first year of a rebuild. Let's get back to the highlights. Again, a 1-1 tie in the first period thanks to a Jason Dickinson power play goal. We moved into the second period, and it was the same start. Buffalo actually had all the momentum to begin things. 8 shots on goal to start the second period, but it was the Blackhawks scoring first on their first shot on goal.
Here's McCabe firing the puck in front. Scramble in the crease. They score! Sam Lafferty! He would not give up on the puck. He was beside the left post in the Sabre crease. And you could hear the sticks in there trying to work that puck free from Craig Anderson. It finally came loose, and Lafferty buried it, and the Hawks now lead 2-1.
There was a common theme for the Hawks scoring tonight, and it was pressure up front. A lot of traffic in front of the net, and that's how they were able to grab a 2-goal lead here.
Put it down to Philip Kurashev. He'll carry it around through the high slot, then stroke it on goal. Turned out of there. Radish with the rebound. He scores! Taylor Radish with a backhanded shot. He had Craig Anderson down in a bad position, and Radish was able to put the backhander by him. It's 3-1 Hawks.
So a 2-goal lead felt pretty good. The Blackhawks were able to limit Buffalo towards that end of the second period and really feeling good. 20 minutes away from their 5th win of the season, trying to sneak one away on the road against Buffalo. We moved into the third period. Once again, Buffalo had more of the advantage, more of the momentum, taking control of play a lot more. Again, it was a Max Domi drawn penalty. He got a high sticking call that gave the Blackhawks a power play. Buffalo killed it. They had momentum, and then they started to find their offense.
Here's Skinner beside the Hawk net off a pass. Skinner now fed it to the slot. Oposo fires, save made, rebound. Thompson shoots and scores. We can only give him so many opportunities, and the Sabres had a hard-working shift there. A good play by Jeff Skinner to keep that puck alive so that Thompson could pick up that rebound and clean it up. And the Sabres have now pulled within a goal of the Hawks. They trail 3-2 with 8:05 left in the third.
You can only give Buffalo so many opportunities. You can only give Tage Thompson so many opportunities. He would later score again to tie up the game at 3, his third of the season. And before you knew it, we were heading to overtime. But before that happened, there was a Jonathan Toews holding penalty against J.J. Paterka. That put Buffalo on a power play as time would expire in the third period. So the Blackhawks were able to earn a point. But once they moved into overtime, once again, Buffalo got that offense going. And it was the guy who scored the first goal of the game.
Dahlin through the high slot, over to the right circle. Olofsson hammers a shot over the net, up off the glass, as you heard. Now 24 seconds on the power play. Dahlin, top of the left circle. Drifting through the high slot, gave it to Olofsson. He shoots and scores. And the Sabres win in overtime, 4-3. Victor Olofsson with his second goal on the night. On a Sabre power play, that's number 6 on the year, number 2 on the power play. And Buffalo comes from behind and wins this one 4-3.
John is so stinking good at giving the description, because that first shot from Olofsson, as you heard at the beginning of the highlight, I believe it went off Jake McCabe, and in Victor Olofsson's postgame press conference comments, he had mentioned that he felt that that shot was pretty good. He knew that Dahlin was going to find him again. He did, and that time he didn't miss. Olofsson's sixth goal of the season. He ends up picking up 2 points in this game with a couple of goals, giving him 7 points in 6 games played. And again, Buffalo wins this one in overtime 4-3. We're hoping to get to more. We'd like to hear from Luke Richardson and maybe a Blackhawk or two after this loss to Buffalo. Again, if you got a call or a thought, text, call 312-981-7200. Give me a tweet at Joe_Brand1. Recapping the Blackhawks 4-3 overtime loss to Buffalo on the postgame show, 720 WGN. We're not trying to rush through the final couple of segments of the Blackhawks postgame show, even though we're recapping a 4-3 overtime loss to the Buffalo Sabres. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to the Hawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Hawks moving to 4-3-1 with this loss. Buffalo improves to 5-3-0 as they take both points. Give Buffalo some credit. They scored 2 goals late in the third period, tie things up, then they win in overtime. I do understand the frustration about maybe the Blackhawks' effort tonight. We already heard from Andy in Chicago wondering why the team hasn't gone back to the fundamentals. And I understand that this is not the same effort, not the same type of team that we saw in the first 5 games, but let's keep in mind, once again, year one of a rebuild, and there is going to be some tough opponents. Speaking of this being year one of a rebuild, we are going to showcase some of the positives going on at the lower levels in the Blackhawks organization. Like, how about Rockford? They've got an 8-goal, or rather an 8-1 lead over Bellevue through just 2 periods. Lucas Reichel already with a couple of goals. I think Isaac Phillips has 2 as well. He has at least 1. So good news from Rockford tonight. Also, Gavin Hayes of the Flint Firebirds with 2 goals in his game as well. So there is some positives going on in the Blackhawks system at the moment. 4-3 loss to Buffalo ends up being the Blackhawks' first overtime game in which they only gain 1 point. We mentioned earlier, shots on goal in favor of Buffalo tonight, 45-26. So that's 41 saves for Arvid Soderblom. Buffalo outshot the Blackhawks in each period. Once again, faceoffs, though, heavily in favor of the Hawks, 73-27. Just looking at a few of the numbers, Jonathan Toews at 72% tonight. Jason Dickinson, smaller sample size, won 5 out of his 7, so 71%. Max Domi, 86%. We've definitely seen a lot of good things from Max Domi, but that is one of the hidden gems of his game so far. 86% of his faceoffs that he's won, and really helping out that top line get some puck possession. But also, you know, kind of counterintuitive point here. The Blackhawks won that many faceoffs, but it was Buffalo containing the majority of the momentum, possession, and just overall drive of the game. one of their faceoffs that they won ended up being one of the biggest ones, and a power play goal from Olofsson, the first goal of the game, turned out to be just a huge faceoff win for Buffalo as they were able to score the first goal of the game. They coughed up that lead. Blackhawks had a two-goal lead. Couldn't hang on to their own. We're still waiting to hear from Luke Richardson. Again, if you'd like to join in, 312-981-7200. We already heard from a couple of callers and texters, too. You can text that number. Or if you happen to have a thought and are on Twitter, a lot of people have thoughts on Twitter these days, @Joe_Brand1. Let's take a look around the league, because there was a lot to get to in the NHL tonight. And we're going to start in Dallas, who was hosting the New York Rangers.
Gauthier with a steal. Goes back out to the point. Shot scores! Zach Jones! And the Rangers take a 4-3 lead.
So the Rangers improved to 4-3-2 with that win. Dallas moves to 5-3-1. As the Rangers, still one of the hotter teams to start this season. Again, we were talking about them being one of the teams to take a look at in terms of the odds for winning the entire Stanley Cup. May have been the best value for you, as they were not one of the heavy favorites, but hanging around there, I think, at plus 1,200. So a good opportunity to pounce on them at the beginning of the season. Let's go to Florida next.
Puck goes to the line. Forsling, big drive, loose in front. Forsberg the save. He stands his ground. He stops the follow-up try. A third chance from Verhaeghe. Now a drive, and they score! It's Montour, and the Panthers take a 4-3 lead with 3:32 to play here in the third.
That's Doug Plagans with a big call as the Panthers beat the Ottawa Senators 5-3. That game showcasing two sets of brothers with Mark and Eric Staal and Matthew and Brady Tkachuk. First time that that's happened in an NHL game since last December, in a game that involved the Blackhawks. The Hawks and the New York Rangers had Ryan Strome, Dylan Strome, and Seth and Caleb Jones. Let's go to San Jose.
Throws another right wing. 2-1 in front. Chip score! Hagel chipped it in front, and Nikita Kucherov, of all players, is underneath the D in a little 2-on-1 break. And it's 4-3 Tampa with 56.2 seconds left.
Call courtesy of Sharks Radio, and yes, a goal by Nikita Kucherov with 57 seconds left gives Tampa Bay its fifth win of the year. They get back above 500, now 5-4-0. San Jose moves to 3-8-0. Let's go to St. Louis.
The top of the right circle goes wide. Montreal really pressing, and they score! A shot from the blue line by Anderson, and it goes all the way, or did Dvorak get that goal?
Dvorak did get that goal, and not only that one, he got three tonight. A hat trick for Dvorak as the Montreal Canadiens beat the St. Louis Blues 7-3. Cole Caulfield nearly had a hat trick of his own. Dvorak scoring all three of those goals in the third period as Montreal improves to above 500. They're now 5-4-0. St. Louis now 3-4-0. We've got more out-of-towns to get to. Again, we're still hoping to hear from Luke Richardson, and we're hoping to hear from you too, but we got to get to one last break. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show. Join in, 312-981-7200. You're on 720 WGN. One last stop on the Blackhawks postgame show. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to 720 WGN. Got to give more credit to our goaltender tonight of Arvid Soderblom. 41 saves in this game. He is our player with the most heart, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. Looked like he was going to bail out the Blackhawks tonight and give them 2 points. Hawks instead picked up 1 point in an overtime loss, game-winning goal by Victor Olofsson, his second of the night, and the Hawks move now to 4-3-1 before they head back home. Tomorrow night, they'll welcome in the Minnesota Wild at the United Center. How about this day in Blackhawks history? We'll go to 2013 at the United Center. Nikolai Habibulin gave up 4 goals on 18 shots in the first period. He was relieved by Corey Crawford as the Hawks rallied behind Jonathan Toews' third career hat trick for a 6-5 winner over Ottawa. Also on the 29th in 1975, the Hawks started a team mark of 15 straight games without a loss. They went 6-0-9 to begin the year, matching the 1967 squad record of 12-0-3. Of course, everyone remembers what happened, though, in 2013. We've got a few more out-of-towns to get to you. Let's go to L.A.
Got the takeaway. Stick lifted by Engvall, who carries it out. Then a quick change. Here's Deneau right back in. Dangling on Kemp. Driving to the net. Wide open, Arvidsson! He scores!
That's Alex Faust as the Kings double up on the Toronto Maple Leafs today, 4-2. Kings improved to 5-5-0. Maple Leafs now 4-4-1. Let's go to Philly.
Nate just looking for skating room. Cuts into the slot. Over to the right circle. Teed up. They score. Got it to Brent Burns, and he rifles it high into the net. His second goal of the year, and it's the overtime winner as the Canes come back to tie late and win it in overtime 4-3.
And the Hurricanes improved to 5-2-1 with that overtime winner. Philly with the same record at 5-2-1. As again, Hawks fall tonight 4-3 in overtime. Let's quickly get to our next game preview.
Perron trying to flip it back along. Larkin rescues it. Right side Kubalik. Throw it in front! And a ricocheting puck. They score. With 4.5 seconds left, the Red Wings here in the second have taken a 2-1 lead.
So the Blackhawks again will take on the Minnesota Wild on Sunday as they welcome in the Minnesota Wild. That was a Lucas Raymond goal against the Minnesota Wild from Detroit. Lucas Raymond scoring two goals tonight for the Red Wings, mind you, as the Hawks again hosting Minnesota tomorrow. I'm sorry, do we have tape? Do we have Luke? Okay. So our next game, Sunday night, tomorrow night, we'll start the pregame show at 5:30. That's the FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show for you. Puck drop at 6 o'clock at the United Center. Tickets still available at Blackhawks.com. That starts a three-game homestand as the Hawks welcome in the Wild, Islanders, and Kings this upcoming week. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser. ComEd for Business. ComEd, powering business, powering lives. United Airlines and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to all the help we got here at the WGN studios of Jack Heinrich, Alan Poppy, our engineers of Dan Long and Brett Jackson. For our help over at the KeyBank Center, Kaylee Chelios and John Weideman on the call. I'm Joe Brand. You've been listening to the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.